Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc, and streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and more. We've got a tremendous show tonight. We are tackling Last Jedi 1 year later and the Star Wars fan film that could unite the fandom. We're also going to ask the question, who won the winter between Aquaman, Bumblebee, and Into the Spider-Verse? We crown the winner of the holiday box office season. As always, I'm your host, Michael Dolce, and I am joined by Mr. Hassan Godwin. How you doing, sir?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What is your New Year's resolution? You were telling us backstage.
My New Year's resolution is to find unarmed and unsuspecting people and beat the crap out of them.
That is a lie. You are trying not to fight
throughout New York City, just randomly attacking people in New York City.
Your New Year's resolution is not to fight.
Yes,
and yet you are on a debate talk show. In which
this
case, we
count.
Are going to be
this
diving
format,
into
this
one of the most
count.
Controversial things that has ever
touched.
Yeah,
but we already know we agree on this particular thing.
Well, but the fans, you know, all 12 of them, they're going to be very upset with us
13.
For dredging up those old wounds that are The Last Jedi.
Yeah, fine. I don't do New Year's resolutions that much because... you know, whatever. Nobody cares, right?
Even
me. But this year, I'm like, you know what? I'm not fighting with anybody anymore.
You just
see how long that lasts.
You're gonna go for it.
Yeah, I'm just.
I like it.
I gave up sugar last year, so I'm gonna give up.
How long did
people.
It take? How long did it take you to then not, you know, to break your pledge at that point?
Oh, like giving up sugar?
Right.
I haven't. Well, on occasion, like on Christmas and on Thanksgiving and Christmas, it was very difficult to avoid.
Okay,
but it was disgusting. Like if you haven't eaten sugar in a couple of months, and you go, and you have like a donut or a donut hole, like one of those little, it's like it's vile.
It's the worst thing you've ever had.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's like a pill of death.
Interesting.
I would advise everyone to follow suit.
All right. Well, that is your lesson for the
day. Eat pills of death.
That is your lesson for the day. Instead of maybe talking about Star Wars Last Jedi, we're just going to go through New Year's resolutions now. All right. It was 1 year ago.
I agree, Mike. That's a good idea.
It was 1 year ago. Star Wars The Last Jedi hits.
Yes.
Completely divides the fan base.
Yes.
1 year later.
And united us, which was odd.
it was
very strange.
It was the end of the show.
Yeah, it was very awkward.
It was not a good idea. It was not a good look for us. But yes.
But it really did. It did a number on the fans. It really hurt the fans pretty bad. They're doing a lot of, I'm seeing a lot of activity on a year later. Mm-hmm. Everyone's doing a kind of Last Jedi
and
a year later.
My resolution was to follow the sheep and do everything they're doing.
So everything that they're doing.
Here
yes.
we go.
Yes, I agree. I agreed with that because I don't fight with anybody anymore. So
no.
that was the best idea you've ever had.
I try. I try.
But you know what? It's gonna be the same with us. But basically, everybody who hated it last year still hates it.
Yeah.
And anybody who liked it last year kind of still likes
and
it.
And a lot of virtual dinner tables were at war. And a lot of people were unfriended.
Yes.
And a lot of people were unfollowed. There was vitriol.
There was it was an apocalypse.
In today's times.
It was a social apocalypse.
In today's times, there is no sitting... It used to be like, oh, you're sitting on the fence, you're in the middle. Now there is no... There's distance over here.
It's the tribe.
And there's distance over here.
And you know what's odd to me, which kind of gets on my nerves even more so than the movie in and of itself, is that everybody who likes the movie uses the same talking points, as the exact same word phrases of everyone who likes it. And everyone who hates it uses the exact same
except
word phrases.
Except our show, because we're actually original and unique.
Yeah. Well, we actually went through...
And we have 12 fans, so who do we care if we piss off?
We don't care if they know. But we went through verse and chapter of what we disliked, what we liked, and what we disliked about it. And then we had company, because we had... oh, man. I'm so bad with names. I don't know, the other podcast we had that came in with us. We will follow up on that and let you know.
I'm
after
not even
the
sure
break.
Which podcast.
Yeah, but they were in and they were like, they remember they
dude,
liked it.
I'm still
it?
Hungover from New Year's, man.
Remember they? Yeah, me too.
It's gonna be the worst show ever.
They kind of liked it.
Oh, bad guy.
Yeah,
funky.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
them.
Yeah. Oh, the bad. Oh,
they
kind
of liked it, and then we convinced them that they didn't like it towards the end of the show.
No. Okay. They were just friends of mine. They were our Patreon backers who came into the studio.
Oh, well, you didn't tell me that. You told me they were somebody.
I told them that. I told you that last year.
See now? Yeah. You're trying to goad me into a fight.
That was Brian Phillips, our executive producer, and it was Jack O'Donnell, who was married to Ashley Highkind.
It's not going to happen. I'm not going to fight with you. But I disagree.
Speaking of our patrons, go to patreon.com/seekersofthesire. It's brought to you by our beloved patrons, Craig Caruso, dedicated fans, Einar Peterson, Matt Byer, Ashley Haikai, and Omar Morales, our program director,
name.
Stephanie Dolce, and our Uber fan, Christina Dolce. Continue.
Fix. So anyway, but we basically ran through that. We ran through the show.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we missed the... We hate the Last Jedi train.
Yeah, I know.
We kind of just
know,
we were at the station with everybody else. We were
the
like
entire yeah. point of this is to capitalize on people's emotions.
We're just trying to do that this time.
Total fail.
But you and I were like,
tried
hey,
doing rational discussions.
We were on the station. We were on a hate station, and we were waiting for the hate train. And we were like, you want to go to Starbucks? And then we went to Starbucks, and the
like,
hate train came.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, picked everybody up, and then drove off. And then we were like, man,
and then
I guess
we got the one line instead, which is just full of freaks at that point. No, I got you. I agree with you. I think we missed out on it. So we're trying to capitalize tonight, which I applaud.
Have you watched The Last Jedi again?
No. You know, for the most part, I have my movies that I could watch over and over and over again.
Mm.
Captain America, the first one, being one of those.
Okay.
I can watch... Charlie Wilson's War, which I
that's a great movie.
I absolutely love that.
That's a great movie.
I'm a big political fan, and I love
you're
like,
a big political fan.
I love the politics that we don't see in here influencing future decisions, and any movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman and Tom Hanks is I mean, it's money. And Aaron
that
Sorkin,
scene where he breaks a window is like one of the greatest scenes in movie history.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's a great movie. So I have these movies, Anchorman, I could watch over and over again.
Oh well,
you know, old school, you know, things like that.
Okay,
I'm
guessing Last Jedi is not going to make that list.
No, I watched Force Awakens twice.
Ooh.
I watched it the first time in the theaters. I loved
yourself.
It in the theaters. In the second time around, I see your points.
Mm-hmm.
There was a nagging feeling when I watched it the first time of these discrepancies of mm-hmm. things where, you know, it was actually a great movie, not to bring up Force Awakens, but it was a great movie up until the point Han Solo came onto the screen. Once it became a continuation of episode 6
right.
and stop being its own new thing.
Yeah.
Then it got bumpy.
I somewhat agree with you. I think it was a great movie until Finn met Rey. And then
wasn't
it just
that like
started
at the very beginning?
No.
Wasn't that like the opening scene?
The opening. The first few scenes in it with the village and with Finn and Poe escaping the Star Destroyer, those are great scenes.
Yeah.
That's great Star Wars. And then the minute they tried to get intricate with their, you know, with their weak ass and, you know, mythology, misunderstanding of the mythology and just inability to develop character and whatever and build and world build.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it started to rely on those component parts, it started to fall apart.
Sure.
You know?
No, I agree with
when
that.
When it didn't have spectacle to fall back on, it started to fall apart. And I feel somewhat, no one would agree,
mm-hmm.
which is fine, but I feel somewhat vindicated because in 2015 when I saw the movie, I'm like, the next movie is going to be terrible. Because they're not laying any groundwork for this next guy to work with. They're not giving us any character. They're not giving us any tangibilities.
Mm-hmm.
They're not setting up rules.
They were relying on the past to fuel the future, as if and in a way, it's not a bad thing because it's an episode 7 at that point. You're supposedly
but if you,
following
yeah, but you
got
to do something
these.
To justify a 7th episode, and they just decided not to.
Yeah,
and then the 8th episode.
But then the
8th
episode, he just took a weird turn.
But
man.
if they had laid the groundwork, he would have been very limited
so
with what he
you're
was.
Actually, from what I'm hearing, you're placing the blame of Last Jedi on not Rian Johnson, but J.J.
I don't.
Abrams,
I don't know.
Actually.
It's Rian Johnson
because I think Rian Johnson just completely failed.
Rian Johnson
he S'd the B so bad in this movie.
Rian Johnson is the one who committed the biggest sin, but he was allowed to do that,
yeah,
because of the manipulative narrative,
yeah,
that J.J. Abrams took the movie before that. Mm-hmm. He was more interested in the appearance of substantive mystery than he was actually laying the groundwork to set up a mystery. And so when the next guy came along, said, I don't want anything to do with these things, and he tossed the mysteries out. Yeah. He tossed the whole mystery box out.
Yeah.
And it's proof positive. If you're not going to do all three episodes, don't leave your leave your next guy with a turd box full of mysteries.
Have a plan. I mean, that's look, for better or for worse with the prequels, and we're going to definitely get into the prequels a little bit because of
because I don't argue with anyone.
Well, no, of course not. You know, who would ever think that? but what? At least there was a cogent, thread
right
throughout. There was a plan. There was a course of action. There was a executed horribly, in my opinion, in most fandom's opinion. But it was there.
Yeah.
In this, there was no, hey, we're going to start you in point A, now take it, because we've carefully thought this through, not, I'm turning my script in a week before shooting starts. You know, it was that bad.
Absolutely.
In terms of execution. Now, in the midst of all this, you turned me on to one of the best fan films I've ever seen, and it's causing people to go crazy online.
Right.
Was it 4 million views at
this point? Yeah, and it was ridiculous. It started out, I think the first night it was out, it had almost a million views.
Yeah.
The first night it had dropped, done by
Star
Wars Theory.
It is called
Danny
Vader
Rodriguez, who wrote and directed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, Vader Shards of the Past. It's you know what struck me right away, because it has it's got its fan filmy kind of feel to it. But the writing was really sharp. Like,
yeah,
a lot of times, a lot of those guys will write something and they'll just go for broke, and mm-hmm. they'll have this dialogue filled with everything that they've ever wanted
yeah,
the
yeah.
characters to say, and some of the doesn't fit the tone. Some of the conversations don't fit the tone that they're trying to create. Mm-hmm. This was really smooth, and it really, like, I was able to follow it just from listening to it, not so much the spectacle, which was great. And I was floored.
Well, we're going to get into detail about the film a little bit in the next segment, and we're also going to ask two questions. One question is, does this actually vindicate the prequels? Because I think in a way, and we'll get into it next segment, it does. And how will this influence Disney Star Wars going forward?
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
We're going to keep it superficial.
Just a brass tack.
We are very superficial people in general.
Well,
so we're going to stick to... Well, I'm a very superficial person.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I'm a book by the cover kind of person.
I'm a great guy. I'm not superficial at all.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We talk comics, movies, TV, and pop culture every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc. My New Year's resolution is no technical difficulties in the next... tonight. Like tonight. I just want to get through tonight.
just leave it to tonight? Like, okay.
Look.
All right.
There's a rule out there. Set achievable goals. and you will live a happy life.
Which means meaningless goals, basically, in achievability.
All right. We were talking Darth Vader shards.
My goal is to eat the burrito I bought. That's my New Year's goal. And I think I shall achieve.
That's it.
Unless it gets stolen.
That's it. All right. We were talking Vader Shards of the Past. Title name, by the way. Shards.
You think so? I don't think so.
Horrible word to have.
What about the crystal shard? What about the dark crystal?
No, yeah, yeah. But the shard is okay. The shards sounds very... much.
It's shards.
I know.
Sharts.
I know. But if you say it really fast, comes off really juvenile.
That's when juveniles say juvenile things. Yes, it sounds juvenile.
I'm not the one naming it Sharts of the Past.
Neither did they.
For such a great film, too, to have such an awful title. But no. For anybody who doesn't know, you can catch it on YouTube. It's on the Star Wars Theory fan page.
Yes, it is.
You should go to youtube.com/secrets-of-the-sire and subscribe to us as well.
S-H-A-R-D-S of the Past.
And it basically, it bridges together the time in between, I guess you could almost say Rogue One now, and...
No,
And the end of episode 3.
Episode 3.
I was going to say it bridges together episode 3 and 4, but now you can kind of actually say Rogue One, you know, predates
sort of
episode 4. So it bridges together and it answers a fundamental question that I always had about the prequels, especially episode 3. Mm. Episode 3 to me could have been the savior of the prequels, but unfortunately fell into the same trap that the first two episodes had, which is that the execution of said idea. It's the same thing we talk about with Black Panther all the time, where at the very end, I just don't understand why. Like, I don't feel that Black Panther should beat Killmonger. I don't feel that Anakin has become Darth Vader in the moment he essentially becomes Darth Vader when he kills Samuel L. Jackson's character. Mm. Hey, Samuel Jackson in both those movies. He's been in every movie, hasn't he? I guess
yes.
Pretty much, you know, he is modern film. But
I don't think he was in Black Panther.
Because you kind of sit there, well, he was, yeah, I think he, doesn't he have like a, yeah, he does in the.
You're thinking of Infinity War.
I feel like he's always in everything. Well,
he was
anyway,
at the end of Infinity War.
He was in the universe. We've talked about that as well, too. This film answers the question of, well, is he just instantly Darth Vader at the end? No, he's not. And even in the film, episode 3, he's still kind of like conflicted. He's kind of nuts. But it's so out of sync in episode 3. It kind of goes all over the place. One minute, it's almost like he's got roid rage at one minute. Like one minute he's like raging. The next minute he's crying. The next minute he's like, Padme. The next minute he's like, I'm doing this for you. And it's like, no, you're clearly not doing it for her. I don't even know what you're doing, to be honest with you, at this point. Mm. You're conflicted about killing Samuel L. Jackson, Mace Windu. But you're okay with just, I'm going to go slaughter some Jedi babies because you told me to. And sure, let's go rock this out. It gives a human element to Darth Vader in that he wasn't just instantly Darth Vader. Even when he became Darth Vader, he was still haunted by Padme. He was still angry. He was angry at the Emperor for actually kind of manipulating him. So to me, episode 1 of this fan film, which I'm hoping maybe somehow influences the Disney Star Wars films, and Sam, to answer your question, because off camera he asked me, will it? I think it can, because J.J. Abrams is helming episode 9. And he's making stuff up on the fly as it is. So why wouldn't this have an opportunity? Why wouldn't this, if it had enough attention, attract J.J. Abrams to then kind of say, hey, maybe we can do something.
Do what? Do exactly what?
I wonder if there's some aspect to Kylo Ren that could be a hint, a nod to something that comes in with this in the time? I wonder if there's a certain tone, a certain way it was shot that J.J. Abrams can kind of absorb into what he's doing.
He doesn't have a need to, because everything that you said that you didn't get is actually in the story. So, as a matter of opinion.
Didn't feel.
That's fair.
There's a big difference, though.
Fair enough.
I mean, again, I get why Black Panther beat Killmonger, because it was the end of the movie and he had to beat him. And yes, he had this magical moment.
I don't even feel that from Black Panther. I had no problem with the resolution of that. I kind of get what you're saying, but I don't see it because I didn't feel
it
that way.
And have no soul.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what
that's
the situation
what
is.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think for the most part in the prequels, though, there was that moment of there should be, in my mind, there should have been a definitive moment when he becomes Darth Vader.
There
and
was.
It wasn't. Well, no. Yes, it was there, but it failed miserably. Like, it was very weak and failed.
It was fine.
And then this actually bridges the gap a little bit and shows me a
How
side that I'm hoping.
How does it bridge the gap?
Because what I'm speculating for the next episode, which is a big theory, we can do some speculation because obviously it means nothing. I see it as by the end of this, we're going to get the Darth Vader we see in Rogue One. We're going to get the Darth Vader we see in Episode 4. I think there is a conquering, and that's kind of what Daniel Ramirez is kind of laying the foundations for. I think he also recognized there was a lacking of a definitive Darth Vader moment by the end of the prequels, and there needed to be something in between. And
that is not his opinion.
I think he's going to resolve that.
Right. That's not the opinion that he's had on his website. Mm-hmm. It's on his YouTube page.
Well, he's not going to give it all away. Why would he give it all away?
Well, he did. In leading up to it, but I mean, that's fine.
Maybe he's a master of misdirection.
That's a question, Michael. Have you seen any of the other
Star Wars
episodes?
Fan theory?
Yeah, on Star Wars Fan Theory.
Is
any of his excerpts or his blogs?
No.
You know?
Why would I do that?
That's what I thought. All right. So anyway,
I like a day when. So I was listening to a podcast.
Some podcast.
I was listening. Well, I don't
Random
know the name of it.
Podcast.
It had singer Christian. Christian was the front man of Unified Theory, and then he took over for Live when Live went away, and our audience, who's under 30, is like, who are you talking about? I'm not even sure.
Even the over
30. But he was talking about a day when rock stars were mysterious, when artists were mysterious. And he's like, I like the day, and I actually agree with him 100%, when you don't need to know everything. The work of art is what speaks for itself.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Well, you don't need to know everything about what?
Well, you're sitting there saying, well, he's contradicted everything I just said already on his blogs.
Well,
right?
In his own, his...
Right, in his social
media
pages.
I mean, it's called Star Wars Theory, so...
And his blogs and all that.
He's ruminated a little bit on the theory of Star Wars.
But my point being is that if I'm just going to take this as a work of art, there's room for nuance, there's room for interpretation, and that's my interpretation from what's in there.
And I didn't dispute it.
Well, but you basically belittled it and said that there's no room for basically everything I just said. You negated it and you said, "Oh, well, he clearly doesn't think that."
He doesn't think what you think about the prequels.
What do
definitely.
You think about the prequels? Does he think they're works of art like you do?
I never said they were works of art.
But no, what does he think about them?
I don't want to tell you.
Okay,
because I don't want to have this conversation.
That's your New Year's resolution. That should be your New Year's resolution. Don't bring up the prequels.
I would never have brought up the prequels.
Well,
the immediate post prequel era, right? It's a couple of months after Revenge of the Sith, right? He is a Vader enthusiast,
and it shows.
Yeah, and he's a fan of Anakin Skywalker. Yeah, he's got his issues with the prequels. Mm-hmm. There are some issues with it. It's a lot of surface chatter, though. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of prequel fans find the cosmetic complaints about the prequels as surface chatter. Yeah, no one's going to deny that it doesn't have these issues. But if the other side of it is, if you allow those issues to kind of cloud the content that you are being given, then that's a completely different, that's what sets
them
apart.
That's the very definition of an issue, right?
Huh?
I mean, that's the very definition of having an issue with something. If something doesn't, if something keeps interrupting your enjoyment,
that's right, and that's the point. That's what I'm saying. That's what sets the two groups apart.
Mm-hmm. So they're divided as well.
Of course.
Everyone's divided.
Fandom is divided.
It's a divisive.
The fandom was never united. But the bottom line is that most people discuss the characteristics or the nuances that were in that were the information that was provided by mm-hmm. those movies, and the same with the originals. You know, like most of the information that was given to us is what we kind of go over and over again. The execution of it kind of varies in all things. The originals were a much more solid, much more nuanced, much deeper presentation of conventional storytelling.
Yeah,
but as you can see, it kind of like a fluke because the sequels can't really get it right, and the prequels didn't get it right.
Well, look, everyone can have a good idea. There's what, five ideas? Like that's the famous Mark Twain quote. There's like five stories out there.
No. Execution storytelling,
everything.
Storytelling isn't an idea. It's not a theory. It's not an idea. The story in and of itself is as close to flawless as a modern serial can get in all spanning at least the first two trilogies.
Yeah.
The third one is I think almost a lost cause.
So before we go to break,
mm-hmm.
real quick, put an end cap on this discussion. What is the impact that Shards of the Past is going to have, if any, on the fandom, on anything out there?
I think it's going to further divide the fandom.
It's gonna be a
nail in the coffin of the fandom. I think what it'll do is it will help people who want to still love Star Wars. It will help them realize that we could still love this medium and just not like a lot of what's being done with it. And then in many cases, we could do something about it.
I'll tell you what people love. They love them some Aquaman. And when we come back, we're going to ask the question, who won the winter?
I don't know why I have to put up with these god-awful segues.
Or Spider-Verse.
God-awful.
When we return.
God-awful.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin, together we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
We talk comics, movies, TV, pop culture, all the stuff that you love, and we do it right here.
Stuff that makes the girls run away.
Oh, well, clearly. No. That is completely false.
Stuff that makes the girls
That is completely, completely false.
I recommended
false.
Secrets of the Sire on my show, and I got less female listeners.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire, home to the greatest segues ever invented by man. I'm Michael Dolce. This is Lord of the Radio, Hassan Godwin. We were talking a little bit of Last Jedi, but then it got steered somehow into Force Awakens. We touched upon Shards of the Past with Vader. But with this being the new year, we got to talk a little bit of Aquaman because the December to remember in movie going. By the way, it wasn't just Aquaman. I mean, it was all the December movies were huge. Box office returns were, unbelievable. So things like Spider-Verse did really well. There's even some other films that you know, didn't do as well, but we're still are still like expected to get a bump. So it seems like people are actually going out to the theaters when there's something worth seeing. We reviewed Aquaman last week.
I read some clickbait. I don't know how legitimate it is, but people are. A new study finds that people are really gravitating to. What was the description? Hope narrative again.
Yeah.
You know, like stories with like actual like resolutions, like positive resolutions and outcome, and they're kind of walking away from this gray area, gritty. You know,
do you buy that? I mean, do you buy it that
I don't know. I just said it was clickbait.
No, but I've heard this before too, because I love it. Like 30 years after the fact. I was just watching something like the 80s documentary, and they're like, yeah, it was the time of Reagan, so Back to the Future made total sense because Reagan was trying to put us back in the 50s, and I'm like, it was just an awesome movie. Like, I'm not like sitting there being like,
it does have 80s. I don't know if it was specifically Reagan esque.
Right, but that's they're trying to make
it does
this,
have it
they're,
does,
trying, they're always trying to take this like here's
but it does
the world.
Have a tremendously 80s spin on it, like
sure.
Like at the end of it where everything was opulent and they had designer furniture and yeah. Art Deco, you know, because he had changed the past for the positive,
right?
So that the resolution is that everything would be lucrative for
yeah.
you, like your positive life will be one of wealth,
yeah.
And that's very 80s. That was a very 80s. And they've actually rebuked it themselves. It's Zemeckis and I think Bob Gale was
it? Yeah, Bob Gale's the writer. Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, yeah, the ending's a little, you know. It's kind of the same reaction that Steven Spielberg has to Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where
yeah.
he's like, you know, as a family man, I don't know if I would have ended my movie now with a father getting on a spaceship
yeah.
and flying away from his wife and children. But, you know, but that's,
but the,
that's
you know,
kind
the
of
thing
the
thing is, though, these movies get shot, especially in the 80s. I mean, now we're really digressing. You know, I mean, they're shot like a year or two in advance. So it's not as if. You know,
yeah,
like
but it was in the 80s.
No, I get that. I'm just, I know, it was the middle of the
80s,
so Reagan was in office and all that other stuff. But like, you know, you look at things like Aquaman, and you know, I guess, yeah. It
but
was
I don't know if Aquaman qualifies as that feel good. You know, doesn't have. I mean, it has it resolves. Spoiler alert! It resolves.
There's an ending.
Yeah, it has a resolution.
Sorry, guys.
I mean, look. Bottom line, Aquaman survives, right? Because
yeah,
we got to have a sequel,
right?
So, I mean, it does have a resolution, but it's not that wasn't a feel good movie.
No.
That wasn't a Back to the Future esque feel good
no.
hope driven movie. It was like, you know, it was another one of those run and gun, beat up the bad guys and kind of.
Right.
You know, get the girl in the end kind of situation.
Right, but people try to explain the enormous dollar figures in ways. Like, I think it's one of those, like, obvious things. It's like, it was a fun movie. It looked cool. Jason Momoa has magnetic qualities. That's all it is. It's not like people are tired of, like, well, we're tired of this. We're tired of the politics. We're tired of the divisiveness. So I want to see something that has hope at the end. It's like, nah, it looked pretty
yeah,
cool,
but
right?
As I said, again, I'm not saying Aquaman is part of that.
Sure.
Is part of that phenomenon that they're noticing. They're
which,
saying that people are gravitating
yeah.
towards that.
Which movie in the wintertime would qualify that in your opinion?
I don't probably Bumblebee.
Yeah,
you know,
done the weakest out of the three that we talked about.
Like I said, it was clickbait or Into the Spider-Verse, even though that was there's a darker element to it, but
yeah.
it does have a happier resolution. It
sure.
has a you know. It has a things are going to work out kind of resolution to it, as
yeah.
opposed to like, you know, I mean, I guess the attitude is people are getting past the Game of Thrones phenomenon, whereas like the bad guys win, the good guys lose
yeah.
all the time. And, you know, it's a lot of your expectations are subverted
yeah.
because you expect so-and-so to survive, or you expect that these two characters are going to unite here, and
mm-hmm.
then they detour, and then they, you know, they don't see each other again for another two seasons or something like
yeah.
that. So, I mean, that was a phenomenon because we were digesting cookie cutter entertainment for the last two decades
right.
leading up to that.
Right.
But then when that hit and like, you know, shows similar to it, like Walking Dead and, you know, a couple of other things, like even at the end of the last two seasons of
True Detective.
True Blood.
True Blood.
Much different than what I was going for.
Uh-huh. The last two seasons of True Blood were just kind of, you know, they
gave
totally
up on that show.
They
don't,
totally
don't tell Pat Shan because he will cut you. But go ahead.
They totally went to the Game of Thrones direction,
sure,
and started just killing characters off or whatever, and everybody kind of jumped on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
So I guess the attitude is that that's just coming to an end, and rightfully so. I mean, with Game of Thrones ending,
surprisingly,
a couple other things,
in Aquaman, you're 100% right too. Spoiler alert, but it's been out for 2 weeks now, so you know, not having, you know, the father. I thought the father was a goner in the first act. I thought this was like, yep, he's going to lose his dad. This is going to be, you know, quintessential, you know, it was almost being set up that way. And then the fact that he didn't and made it through a significant part of the movie. See, I'm trying to still be anti-spoiler, was a surprise to me, because I feel like you're right. I feel like they would instantly lean toward the easy kill, you know, the easy mm-hmm. setup to try to get him rolling and get the character moving, but they didn't. So I agree with you. It does seem to be...
Well, as I keep saying, I don't think Aquaman's part of that equation.
No, you wrote the article, and you meant Aquaman the entire time you wrote the article, and you wrote it under a different moniker.
Right.
I'm onto you, my
so.
Man.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're. Exactly. I don't know what you're trying to think. You're trying to pull
that's
on.
That's totally
on me
what's going on.
You're like
here.
this thing that this article that was no good.
Sometimes I wonder if we're actually even talking to each other.
All right, Victor Dandridge at Vantage House, the second hardest working man in comics, behind Dirk Manning, who's the hardest working man in comics. He tweeted out that he couldn't understand why Aquaman was doing so well, though. He says it's a good movie, but why is Spider-Verse not beating it?
Because it's a cartoon.
That was my response as well too. Plus, it's a regurgitated character, whereas Aquaman, despite the fact that we've known of Aquaman,
and
has never
had
a film before.
Listen, everybody is sleeping on this really, really important factor.
What's that? Shirtless Jason Momoa.
Women.
Yeah.
See, are
you
the,
think
are
we're not
the,
in sync?
Are
you
repeat,
think we're not talking to each
women
other?
Women are the repeat business that the movie industry is looking for.
Yeah.
And that's why they kind of cater to women. But they, I mean, them mostly being men, don't cater to women quite right. They think that, you know, they think women want more Wonder Woman. But they just really want more half-naked
oh,
hot guys.
Hashtag Hassan too. I don't know, my man. Them's dangerous words you just said. You're telling women what they want?
I'm going by the reaction.
I actually don't disagree with you because, you know. Just ask fellow talk radio host Priya Nembhard from Follow Me Friday. She's like, I want to see shirtless Aquaman. That's what I'm going to see, Jason Momoa.
It just seems like it makes more sense to give them, you know, something that they would go to for their own fantasy element.
Sure.
You know, whatever sparks their fantasy element. I don't know a lot of women who fantasize about being superheroes. I am absolutely positive there are millions and millions of them. But I don't. There, that is not a popular, popularly advertised fantasy that women seem to have. So, I mean, you know, they're going to have to prove us wrong and come forward. But I mean, like, look at the costumes that they give women. You know, everything is sexy nurse, is sexy. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. like there's not a lot of identity in the fantasy realm for women to be, you know, to have their own agency. It's all based on them being the object of mm-hmm. affection or mm-hmm. the object of desire, even from their own perspective in certain ways. But if you give them something that they want to look at, they're going to go over and over and over again to look at it.
Right.
So the trick is find out what women want to see and show them more of what women want to see.
Okay.
And apparently, in this particular iteration, it's Jason Momoa without his shirt on.
That's right. Well, he's
I mean, I could have done with a little less of that, but I mean, you know.
I thought he was very attractive.
Huh? He's very dreamy, I was just wondering, like, isn't he cold? Well, the ocean's very cold.
Are we declaring Aquaman as the winner
very
of the winter?
Chilly.
I mean, can we go ahead and say that?
I would give Aquaman a number one spot. It wasn't my favorite movie of the.
Well, that was my next question. Is it the best movie of the three that we mentioned?
No.
Which one did you like the best? Because I think we can also agree Aquaman's the winner. Spider-Verse is the better film of the three.
But which one of those three did you like the
most?
I
liked Into the Spider-Verse the most out of the three of them.
This is total middle of the road. I like them both for different reasons. Like, I can't sit there and say, like, if you had to tell me which movie do you want to see
again. But that's what is supposed to happen. I don't understand this fervor of, like, taking it. It's like, well, it wasn't. I remember one time. Here we go again with the freaking prequels. I remember one time having a conversation with someone else. It's not my fault. It's come up. I was having a conversation with someone else and said I didn't like episode one. It was the Phantom Menace, right? And so I'm like, oh, what did you not like about it? And I thought I was going to get, you know, the usual litany of things that they, you know, that a lot of people find in a moment. He said it wasn't better than The Matrix. What kind of criticism is that?
I gotta be honest with you. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
I thought you were gonna say, like, well,
I understand. But the point is, what I'm saying is that people do not understand that there are categories. The movies, the entertainment, that how you digest things is all categorical.
Yeah.
And if you allow them to be in their own categories, you can enjoy them for the differences and their nuances.
Right.
Instead of saying, well, Mary Poppins wasn't as good as Venom, so F it, you know? It doesn't make any sense.
It wasn't.
Depends on what you were seeing it for. You know what I'm saying?
If I had to watch one
Emily Blunt
new movie.
a little marmish, though.
If I had to watch one of the three again, I think... It's tough. Like, there would be... Spider-Verse, I think, actually made me feel better when all was said and done. Aquaman, to me, was just like, that was the craziest piece of S I've ever seen. But I loved it.
See, I didn't find it. I don't denigrate it, not because I loved it and that I'm angry. I just didn't. I don't think it's a bad
Spider-Verse
movie.
Spider-Verse was just so far superior story wise.
No,
but
no, that is not what I'm talking about.
No, I'm talking about.
I wouldn't even. Yeah, I understand that, but I wouldn't even compare the two because the two were not. They're not compatible, other than the fact that they're superhero movies.
Yeah.
Okay. They're completely different. You know, completely different genre, completely different narrative, completely different points that the two movies are trying to make. I enjoyed Into the Spider-Verse better because of what it is, and that it was a grand animated spectacle. And I'm a cartoonist, and I think it was wonderful to watch. But I didn't find just because I liked it more than Aquaman doesn't mean I think Aquaman was a piece of S, you know, that was just kind of really fun. I enjoyed Aquaman.
Yeah.
And I knew that I would. I suspected I would. I really hoped that I would.
Yeah.
I hoped I wouldn't go there and go, because I did that with Conan. I did that with Momoa's Conan. I really wanted that to be good. And I was like, ugh, this is not good, you know? And then,
so
there was nothing I could do about it.
In short, Hassan thinks Bumblebee won the winter. All right, when we come back, we go spinning the racks.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Go!
now in theaters, Beauty and the Beast is out, and there's big, big controversy with two because of the supposed gay relationship that takes place. You know,
and I thought the real controversy would be about the bestiality.
Bestiality is not a problem.
Oh,
it's
just
homosexuality. We don't like that. Like having sex with a giant beast, that's all right.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. I hope everyone's New Year started
My
off.
New Year's resolution is I quit. I'm leaving.
It is now the Mike Dolce hour on Secrets of the Sire. I want to thank everyone for joining me.
Where's my severance?
We've lost Tassan. He's out. And
you just cut me off.
Yeah. It's just me. I knew I had it here. I didn't eliminate that.
Well done.
We do this every week. We talk about the most fantastical pop culture news around.
Spin around.
The best part is that...
When I leave, I am taking that with me.
No, that's copyright. It's part of the show now. It's part of the show. All right.
I'll zoo.
Netflix's Sandra Bullock film Bird Box is... what exactly?
I almost watched that.
Exactly. I started it.
But here's the thing, and I have no problem admitting this. I live alone, so I ain't watching horror movies when I'm living alone.
Okay. Sandra Bullock's Bird Box, viewed by 45 million accounts in 1 week,
ooh,
Netflix claims.
What do you mean claims?
This is on Hollywood Reporter. Is it a hit? Natalie Jarvie emails, if you ask Netflix, yes.
It's everywhere, though.
The streamer claims 45 million accounts viewed the film during its first week, but while that certainly seems like a lot of viewers, 34% of Netflix's total membership base, the number can't be substantiated by a third-party measurement company and doesn't make it clear whether these accounts actually completed
none
the movie
of Netflix,
or just sampled it.
None of Netflix numbers can ever be substantiated.
Right.
That's going to be a bigger growing problem, especially while the other streaming services get up and running. And you know, you'll know for a fact that Disney and all these other streaming services are going to find a way to produce tangible numbers just to embarrass Netflix.
Yeah.
And Netflix is just going to be like, you know, showing you tax returns. It's going to be one of those situations.
Rebecca
where they're
Keegan actually has an interesting point too. I'm interested what a metric like this means for a filmmaker too. Like, does Suzanne Bier, who is the director, does her agent now use this data, like this tweet? It was essentially a tweet from the guy who runs Netflix. He's like, "Hey, 45 million accounts viewed Bird Box. Awesome."
I don't see why she wouldn't. I don't see why.
But how does a tradition? Well, yes, and let me finish real quick. How does a traditional studio considering her for a project view it? Do you know what I mean? Like, does it? How?
Yeah, it's just a spin. Everybody's utilizing Twitter and Instagram and, you know, basically social media.
Did I mention we got a million views last week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can't substantiate it.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah. The problem is, you know, that you'll also have corroborating word of mouth and other clickbait hits and stuff like that to substantiate not proof, but it would substantiate the whatever you know narrative you'd have about the success of something, as opposed to having no traffic and then still claiming that you have substantial traffic. But I'm not saying that it's a legitimate metric for measuring. I'm just saying everybody uses social media. Even the news organizations use social media reactions to certain things as a gauge of how the public
is. I hate that, too. They're always like, this guy got ripped by...
Yeah. And then you look at it, and it's only like...
Cat Hero 77 and they only tweeted, give you, this
they
guy
only,
sucks.
Yeah, they only give you three comments.
I mean...
And then you're like, oh, I guess that means he got burned, you know?
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. So, I mean, but they use it. They utilize it. And it's a spin.
Yeah.
If you can spin it, the studio that's going to hire you is going to be able to also spin it.
Yeah.
So that is currency.
Yeah.
You know, is it correct? Is it accurate? No. Or maybe not.
Social media, probably to me, the most amazing phenomenon about this is that message board culture has now gone gone global.
Yeah,
it's essentially like it's basically terrible. Pulling message board feeds back in the 90s and even like the 2000s. And just people ripping each other back and forth. And now that is now verified media source. So.
It's another thing that kind of helped, you know, me with my New Year's resolution. I'm like, I'm not getting involved in this stuff anymore. Like,
be careful what you tweet. Don't press send.
I don't tweet at all. So, you know, I'm in good shape. No one's going to, the Nazis are not going to find... not going to find pedophiliac, comments in my Twitter past.
Oh, good.
It just hasn't happened.
Oh, good.
I might have quoted some movies that were questionable, though.
My New Year's resolution is to watch Bird Box.
Yeah.
And see what
right. Like 6 months from now.
See what
when it's
about.
when the hysteria has died down, then you'll be like, hey, you know what? I watched it. We should do a video on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Punisher villain, Billy Russo, won't be called Jigsaw in season 2, which is coming out this month.
Doesn't matter. It's getting canceled.
This is from CBR.com. don't skip ahead to the end of my.
It's a goner.
Some thought provoking stuff here. We don't refer to the character in the series as Jigsaw, but he very much has a jigsaw puzzle. In his brain
getting
is the
it wrong.
Point.
Getting he it explained. Wrong again and again and
it's
again.
It's not necessarily about his face. It's about the psychological.
No.
Which is the way they try to approach everything.
It's about him being a comic book character and people wanting to see a darn comic book character in real life. And you keep shying away from that and taking away the comic book aspect when you're wondering why your ratings are tanking.
Well, no, according to the Netflix guy, one of the Netflix subscribers, 80 million people watched Punisher.
Yeah,
so
80 million. I'm sorry, you meant 800 million,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And then the citizens in New Berlin on the moon also watched it. And some guy on Mars, what's his name? Matt Damon watched it from Mars. So, I mean, look.
Is it going to be like Black Monday after the last two Marvel series?
I don't think so.
Debuts where it's just
I think it'll
survive. Play their final game on Sunday and then Monday.
A lot of people like to drive up the currency of their subscribership. You know, like there's a lot of these ever since the Patreon deplatformed. This YouTuber named Sargon of Akkad.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
Now everyone's like, I'm not using Patreon. They have they have 100 videos on YouTube. No, not even 100. I've seen maybe 3 videos on why I'm leaving Patreon. And it's like a movement that, because everybody else is like, I got a lot of money wrapped up in Patreon.
I'm not
leaving Patreon. It's the everybody if wants.
They could let us know how they do that.
Everybody
that
wants
fantastic.
To be the king of the grassroots movement that's going to topple an empire, and it's not happening. We live in the Matrix, and we're too hopelessly dependent on the system to be able to buck against
it. It's a drug. I mean, they've done studies. I mean, social media, getting a like on social media is the equivalent to like getting like a quick
high. That's despicable. And I even I'm like, hey, a lot of people like that comment.
you're gonna post exactly what you just said, and people are gonna like it. Like,
I'm happy that someone liked my GIF, which is not even
it's
which has
GIF.
Nothing
it's
to do. It's a GIF.
Oh, good God.
It's a GIF.
Oh, good God. Next week GIF. we are gonna do
like
the GIF
peanut
versus
butter
GIF argument.
Like the peanut butter. It's a GIF.
Yeah, anyway, you were saying. You were making a point.
I don't know. You know, you like
now.
To cut off what I say. So heck with it. Let's just keep
you
going.
You always say
with
that. You say that, and then you cut off things that I'm saying. Like, I'll be talking.
I try to do it. It's revenge. darn it.
You're like pre-revenging the revenge, though.
No,
it'll be like the beginning of the show.
It's a re-revenge,
and
not a pre-revenge.
And you'll be like.
It's a re-gifted
that's
revenge.
That's for 7 weeks ago when I rewatched my YouTube video and liked it profusely.
That's 7 minutes ago, snap.
And then got a high because someone. I got a notification from YouTube that someone liked it, and it was me. A
whole bunch of people love everything that I do.
All right. Next week, when we...
I won't be here.
We're going to look at... Well, you're fired anyway.
I quit. You can't fire me. I quit.
Done and done. Next week, when we return, we are going to be looking ahead to 2019, the blockbuster movie schedules there. We've got Avengers Endgame. We've got Hellboy. We've got Episode 9. We've got everything coming out. In 2019, we're going to be joined by a super special guest, but he has
so special we don't know who he is.
We know who he is. He just had a kid, so we're playing it by ear.
Yeah, all right, that's fair.
But he's a prominent editor of a New York newspaper, so it's good enough for me. All right, this is Secrets of the Sire.
The Inquirer.
Yay. We will see you later.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
What's that?
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.